Lorraine and I'm black.
I'm Sarah and I'm Jewish. We're going back to school to learn some basic black and Jewish stuff we should totes already know.
Let's get learned up!
Guys, we have a very special guest today on Learned Up. He is very funny. I was first introduced to him. Not formally introduced. We are meeting now for the first time. But I first saw him at UCB. He does a lot of funny stuff with them. But also, in real life, he does funny comedy things. Gets paid for them. He is a writer on Big Mouth Season 1 on Netflix, which I have been meaning to watch. Everyone raves about it. Have you seen Big Mouth?
I watched the whole thing and I love it.
Oh, it seems sweet. Very on brand for you.
Yeah, it fucking rocked my world. Anyway, keep going with the intro.
Okay, keep it going. Oh my gosh, you were on or you wrote a short film with John Daly?
I wrote and created and starred in it.
Oh my
gosh, John Daly, yeah.
I love John Daly. Called yes. Men.
Yes.
From A24 and Super Deluxe.
It's online now.
Yes. Everyone, go check it out. This intro is very collaborative. I like it. also, go find him on Snapchat. He's Gil Ozeri. One word. GILOZERI. It's Gil Ozeri.
Hi,
Gil
Ozeri's
here.
Hi.
This is like the coolest thing ever. Like, now I'm going to reveal how big of a fan I am of yours. I was first introduced to your work a long time ago. You did these, like, prank phone calls. Well, they weren't really prank phone calls. You were like improvising phone calls to mm-hmm. sex hotlines.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then they were like animated after the fact.
Yes.
Like
and
crank anchors, kind of. Kind of
like crank anchors.
But better.
And like
less mean.
Less mean.
They're so great. And I'm
the weird one in them.
Yeah, yeah, they're really funny. If you guys have never seen, like, I don't know, what would you Google to find them?
I guess Gil Ozeri phone sex pranks or something like that. Yeah.
Just Google
they're
that.
So
Gil Ozeri
funny.
Sex.
Yeah.
No, Lorraine played me the one that that you guys were talking about, and it was great.
So good.
Lost
Thank
my dang
you.
Mind.
Appreciate
so
it.
So funny. So
that's
we,
a long time ago. That's
was,
like a
yeah.
very long time.
It holds
hey,
up.
Thank you. Yeah.
Long time follower.
It ages well. Yeah, so we're both fans of yours, and this is really awesome. And Gil is Jewish, for anyone who can't tell. I don't know what that means. That was a really weird Jewish joke, I guess, I just made. It's cool, I'm Jewish, I can do that. We do these things called sharing the shame sometimes, where we bring on a guest to get learned up and, like, do the homework for a change, and we sit back and we let him or her, like, teach us a little something, usually about their heritage. Although when we had Jesse and Julian on from Extra Extra podcast, their learned up thing that they chose to research was just Elizabeth Banks, because they didn't know who she was.
Yeah, they're like, who is she? Who even is she?
So they literally just came on and read her credits to us, and we were like, this is horrible.
And then after each time that they would list her credits, they'd be like, have you seen her movie? Have you seen her movie? Who in this room has seen this movie?
And some of them we hadn't.
Some of them we hadn't. And they
were
like,
fans,
see?
Or they just they didn't.
No,
it was just shade.
They were like, who is this white woman? We don't know who she
right,
is.
Right, right.
It was straight up just shade. And then we were like, but she like has this really awesome like feminist platform, Hoo Ha Ha, that like launched some of your best friends' careers. And
yeah.
They're like, yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah,
like, that's good. That's good. But still, like, who is she?
Who is she? Is she Julianne Moore? Is she Reese Witherspoon? No. Anyway, this is going to be so much better. I already know.
I hope so.
Yeah, we had Gil on to teach us something about, I don't know, Judaism. What'd you get learned up on, Gil?
Okay, so I've been playing a lot of, I don't get to leave the house recently just because of, I have a newborn baby.
Yes.
And
congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, huge congrats.
Thank you. And so I've been playing a lot of video games because that's the way I sort of can unwind.
Yeah.
I've been playing this game called Call of Duty World War II. It's a new game. It's like a first shooter,
wow.
First person shooter. And you basically, you know, you storm like Normandy and you do all that kind of garbage, and it's your typical first person shooter game. But it's, you know, it's in World War II, and I noticed there's like there's not that much Nazi iconography in it.
Hmm.
I think, you know, rightfully so, they're trying to sort of avoid all the Nazi stuff that's sort of been going on in the news lately.
Yeah.
So I think maybe, I don't know, I'm guessing about that, but It doesn't have a lot of Nazi imagery in it.
It's sort of weird for it not to, though. If it's, I kind of feel like it should, because if you're really trying to realistically portray the world.
Yeah, it's sort of what the conversation I sort of wanted to get into with you guys. There was like, so I was sort of like reading about, it just made me think about, oh, how many Jews have there been in video games? Like, just Jews represented in video games?
I love that.
And so I was sort of like, looked it up. It was sort of... weird. There's not been that many.
How do you even Google that? Yeah.
There's not that many, but I don't know. Let me hear. I have like a sort of little list here.
While you pull that up, there was an episode where we talked about inventors. Sarah, do you want to talk about who invented video games?
Sure. It was a guy named Ralph Baer.
Okay.
B-A-E-R. He was a Jew, and he came up with the first sort of prototype for what we now know as like gaming systems.
Oh, nice.
And also games. Like, so he invented video games and then also the idea that you would play it on a thing.
Is
so,
he like behind Pong, or is that that was much later?
Separate.
Not that much later. Okay. Because this guy was like super litigious, and anyone who developed something that seemed kind of close, he'd be like, I'm suing you.
Yeah.
I'm suing you. Take everyone to court. I'm suing all of you.
So what kind of games? Was like text-based games or something?
It was a lot of stuff. It was a lot of sort of sports kind of things. Okay. There was one.
So he sued a lot of people.
Everyone. Wasn't there like a bowling game, or was it like a tennis game? There was like something that was just really simple.
There was table tennis. There was a ping pong one, I think.
Okay.
So maybe he felt like Pong was like an infringement on that.
Yeah, it's like you're stepping in my lane.
Like, I invented ping pong.
But what he ended up doing was, I think for that lawsuit, he ended up like buying Pong or something
like
that.
He like acquired them.
He like,
or he put them under his licensing sort of thing. This is so boring. Whatever.
No.
But it was cool. Like, it
that
was
is cool.
Yeah.
So Jews are behind video games.
Yes.
But not
they
often
aren't.
In.
They aren't often in. I would
say. Right.
There was like, I was reading about like a lot of the characters. It was like a list of like, it was like a list online of all Jewish characters in video games, and a lot of them are sort of like, in Marvel, like the Thing was Jewish, and like Magneto was Jewish, and like Kyle.
Oh yeah,
South
Magneto
Park.
Was Jewish.
Yeah. And one of them was like even like, oh, Jesus was, but there was like there's not. I don't think they were sort of meant to be like written as Jewish characters necessarily for video games specifically. So the ones on the sort of list, like the biggest one that I saw that I recognized, I don't know if you guys have ever played Wolfenstein. Have you guys ever heard of that
No,
game?
But I think I mentioned it on our video game episode.
I think you did too. I've never played, but yeah, why did you think
I was just because Matt was into he liked it.
it
sounds
original,
like a cool idea.
It's
yeah.
like one of the original first person shooters. I don't know if you know what first person shooter is, but just
it's from your perspective.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
From your perspective.
You don't
you
see
around.
Yourself. You're not
right.
like, it's like, it's not like seeing
you just
an
see
avatar.
Basically the hand and
yes.
the gun and
yes.
you're going around shooting
yeah.
Stuff. And so the character's name was is BJ Blazkowicz. And he.
Blazkowicz?
Blazkowicz. I think that's how you pronounce it.
That's
Have
cool.
you ever played it? Anyone?
No.
Okay.
Wait, so this is Wolfenstein?
This is Wolfenstein. Okay. And basically you go around and shoot Nazis, basically. But they supposedly. Did they hid the fact that he was actually supposed to be like a Jewish character for a while? But yeah, that was one of the sort of characters that was also interesting to me, just because, you know, in the Call of Duty game, they have all the Nazi imagery, all the bad guys are. It's weird because you have an Axis and Allies game right over there. Which is
you're gonna say it's weird because you have a swastika right
yes,
there,
right.
And I was like, "What?"
This apartment is covered in swastikas.
Yeah.
You guys can't see at home.
Yeah,
I feel very threatened right now. But no,
we brought you here.
Yeah, like they have like they'll have like the Axis power symbol instead, and it's sort of like, well, how much? When is it sort of okay to have like, you know, atrocities represented, and when do you feel like you're sort of minimizing things by sort of making Nazis just this like sort of evil, like, you know, this like evil, like at this point they're sort of like vampires and, you know, zombies.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, well, you know, showing some of that stuff and some and now in that Call of Duty game they're almost like completely like it's not even Nazis, it's like you're fighting the Axis power, so it's weird.
Sort of erasing.
Yeah, it's sort of like scrubbing out. Like,
yeah.
And to a certain extent, you don't want to be doing that in like a video game. It's like, I don't know how fun it would be to sort of just play like a concentration camp game. Although I did look up.
Sounds fun to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, did someone design this though? Because I could imagine someone doing
it. There is a game now, like a VR game called Witness Auschwitz. And basically, I think it's like you go around and you can go walk through Auschwitz and see some of the stuff. It's more of like an educational thing.
Ooh.
But it's pretty freaky and scary.
Yeah, for sure.
But I was just like, oh, well, it's sort of like that Wolfenstein game is sort of like a Inglourious Bastards in a way. You're just like going around, you know, which I also was like sort of irked me when it came out just because feel like
Inglourious Bastards.
Inglourious Bastards. It sort of feels like, you know, on one hand, they're not showing that part of stuff. And so there's a lot of, and I feel like Tarantino does that all the time, which is like takes a culture and then just uses it to tell like a revenge story.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened to be that. But like, it feels like you're going through and a lot of people, younger people, don't know the history behind certain
things. Right. So it's sort of dangerous that this is how they're kind of learning about it.
And you're just sort of like now like choose or... just going around killing and wanting to kill and wanting to burn and do terrible shit. So it's sort of like, in a way, sort of, I don't know. In a weird way, it equates two sides. I don't know. That's just sort of my take on it. But like that was one, not to get too serious about that stuff.
No, but that is really interesting. And I think we could talk for so long about just the general topic of like the dangers of sort of revising history or sort of portraying an alternate kind of, or a, like you said, a sort of a scrubbed down or scrubbed out kind of version.
Weird because you want to play like a really fun, you don't want to sort of like, video games are made to sort of escape, and movies too.
Yeah, right.
But it's just like, how much is it okay to sort of scrub out to appeal to a mass audience or like have fun?
But the thing is, like from my perspective, like what, the real story is like the actual historic narrative is great. Like there's so much drama. It's so intense. Like that seems like the better game to play. But if you're thinking about it, if with like that video game business savvy of like who buys these games, like you want to appeal to the U.S. heartland.
Yeah. And I mean, there's also like people who are like, oh, well, I come home from work all day and I want to sort of unwind. I don't, like, I have, like, I can tell you just, like, from how many, like, shows on your DVR do you have? You're like, this feels like homework. I'm, like, about to watch.
Yeah.
And so you want to just be able to do that. But at the same time, like, you know, I see your point. It's just, like, scrubbing it out also feels just, like, it just feels
weird.
It's
like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Well, it's like, why make that game?
Why make that game? Make it's sort of, I feel like, a parallel conversation, or this is a great gateway to another conversation we don't really fully have time for this episode, but of, like, when a director or a screenwriter chooses to make a movie about a historical moment in time, could be Dunkirk, could be, you know, that Sofia Coppola movie, The Beguiled.
Right.
Did you see that?
Yes, I saw that.
Did you think it needed to be made?
Do I think it? That's a weird question because it feels like she wanted to make it.
She wanted to make it. So for people who don't know, The Beguiled was a movie set in Civil War time about a bunch of white women taking care of a fallen
white soldier. Right? Yeah.
Was it a remake?
Yeah, Clint Eastwood, I think, was in the first one.
Nice. Okay.
Yes.
I'm glad that you're calling that out.
They completely avoid the, you know, the atrocities of...
There's no slaves.
There's no slaves in
and
it.
And I don't even think there's a single black person in it. Is that right? Or is there one character?
I don't remember. It's like... If not, it's like 99% white people. But yeah, it just feels like, you're sort of avoiding a big part of it. And it feels like, oh, I wanted to focus on that. And it's hard for me to, at least in my opinion, to say it's okay to just focus on one side of things.
Right.
It feels like, she was just wanted to sort of like focus
on just this slice of life.
She just wanted to narrow the scope. She felt like, she also felt like, I think her response to like, why did you not include black people in this and slaves? She was like, I didn't feel like that was my story to tell. I felt like I'm white.
Right.
I'm just going to tell what I know. And I guess I think that's a very interesting statement that I kind of feel two ways about. On the one hand, I'm like, write from your own experience. I'm not going to try to write the great slave movie. Why would I? Or I'm not going to try to write, a movie set in like, like a lower income area with like a bunch of experiences that I don't know firsthand or something.
Right.
I might butcher that. It might be very insulting. It might be very whitewashed, like sort of in a way that I couldn't help, but I sort of could help at the same time. But I also feel like that's a cheap out. That's a cop out. You push yourself as a writer.
It's
you know?
Weird because you want like writing about anyone. You're sort of writing. You're not never writing from anyone's perspective but your own. So
right.
It's hard to write for any character. You
yeah.
can say that for like, oh,
that's
if I'm
true.
Acting as anybody. But at the same time, I feel like maybe the answer to that is collaborating with people who are experienced.
Yes. Yeah. Bring in a person of color.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Or a Jewish person or whoever you're not mm-hmm. that you're yeah. trying to depict.
Yeah.
This whole thing reminds me of when that movie Suffragette came out. Isn't that what it's called?
Yeah. Did anyone see that?
I didn't.
How long was that in theaters?
But that not for very long because yeah. it was an indie film and it really suffered because of this backlash. Like Twitter freaked out and was like, how can you do this? Like the suffragettes like had black people there. Like you didn't show a single one, da da da. And so they kind of got buried by that. And a lot of people feel really bad because like the production were these like, you know, radical white women and they're really trying to do something.
Yeah.
And they all felt really supported in the making of the film. And it just died before it could go too far. And people feel like really bad for them. But I mean, this is the nature of the biz these days is like if you know that people of color exist and you know that they have a voice and that you could include them in the mm-hmm. process, why not just do it?
And like, why make Big Little Lies when you could make Insecure?
Yeah,
that's how I feel.
Sure, there's an audience for Big Little Lies.
Oh, there of course is, as the Emmys showed. But like, everyone loves Big Little Lies. I enjoyed it myself. Do I think it needed to be made in 2017? No, I do not. But I do think it's like worth congratulating. I don't want Reese Witherspoon to get mad at me and like write me at learntoppodcast@gmail.com. This is our email address that nobody ever emails.
And we don't check.
And we don't ever check.
I would yeah. love to get an email from Reese Witherspoon.
I would too. I like her. I saw her at a Creation Juice and she was
wow.
fit as a fiddle.
Nice.
No.
Shout out Creation Juice.
Yeah. Shout out to working out, going to Pilates, getting
what'd
a smoothie.
She, order?
She was picking up a big order.
Oh yeah.
I think she'd phoned it in.
Oh yeah. Nice. She was like picking stuff up for
maybe
more
for
than her just
kids.
Her or yeah. it was her juice for the whole week.
That's like
oh,
when I go
yeah.
to like
oh, for the whole day.
Go get food.
Sorry,
what no, I was gonna say it's like when I go get food I'm like they're like how many
yeah
this is for six right I'm like yeah six
yes my six you children
know,
yeah
just me and
yeah it's yeah. just me and my car
yeah exactly.
yeah
me and my six cats
oh boy.
Let's talk about
other, oh, okay.
your topic. Let's not talk any more about Big Little Lies or Sofia Coppola.
There was another video game that I saw that I had not heard about, so I'll go to that one next. And that was called The Shiva. You guys know what a Shiva is.
Yeah, that's,
by the way,
that's a video game?
That is a video game.
Really
it's
unfun.
Turned into a video game. It's about a rabbi, and it's like a point-and-click game. You know what those mm-hmm. are? Those are like those like old like sort of...
Is it like Duck Hunt?
You basically, no, you basically like...
No, Duck Hunt is a
like
first-person shooter.
Is it? Oh, that's right. Duck
I mean,
Hunt
technically,
is.
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay, sorry, go ahead, go ahead.
No, it's like one of those things where like you basically click on something with a mouse or like that's what it was.
Yeah.
And, like to talk to someone or to walk
oh.
to or pick something up.
Those are often also called narrative games,
yes,
I believe.
Yes,
because there's a lot of like
there's
reading.
A lot, it's like story
yes,
and reading.
Yeah.
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 So it's basically about this rabbi... Rabbi Russell Stone forced to question his faith and profession over and over when his synagogue fails and he's inadvertently wrapped up in a murder.
Ooh.
So, yeah. So he goes around and has to like be a detective.
Wow.
That sounds really interesting, but also why is it called the Shiva?
I don't know. Maybe someone died or
well, because of the murder.
Yeah, because of the murder.
Isn't the idea that like we're all like living in this like period of mourning for someone?
Yes, sort
what
of.
What do you mean? Isn't the idea of that, like, of the game, or
just?
Like...
Oh, you mean in general?
Oh, sorry. I guess I thought like in the reality of the game, the
okay.
rabbi got mixed up in this murder, right?
Yes.
Someone got murdered.
Yes.
So the idea is like, if the murder was recent, then someone
is
sitting
is Shiva.
Shiva.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like so,
yes.
it's kind of like this time
yes.
is Shiva.
Maybe he has like 7 days
it's
to
Shiva
solve
time.
The murder or something. So that was a weird one, and I'm interested in playing that. But it sounds. It sound I've heard mixed sort of reviews.
Yeah,
that
sounds
I was
dark.
Like reading on like the like you know on iTunes or whatever. I think that's where you can buy it or like whatever. And they said that someone was like the person who wrote this. game is definitely not a Jew. It's like, so like there
Why?
Were there were like weird Yiddish sayings that no one uses or something like that. And like, I don't know.
That's so funny. Yeah. Are there any Jewish games that aren't dark as hell? Like did Jews do anything fun in video games?
I feel like
go to a candy store?
Are, like, dark and well,
I guess, but
let's do it. We're gonna make a video game. It's not that hard to make video games. Like I took a video game class.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Well, yes, it is.
Well, like a good video game is hard, obviously. But we can make some like DIY like video games and stuff, and we can make one that's like Jewish party.
Yeah.
Purim. We'll make like a Purim
Ooh,
video game.
Guess who's coming to Purim?
Guess who's coming to Purim?
But like a conflict free version. Like that suggests that like there's going to be some conflict at the Purim table.
Yeah, it does.
No
yeah.
conflict.
It's just guess who's coming. And if you guess
Elmo.
Right, you get like cookies.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, yeah.
It's weird because it makes you think about like how. It feels like the video game world is so behind in representation, sort of. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know, why does the video like game world get a pass, like a free pass?
Maybe because it takes so much money to make video games. It feels like, you know, every single one is like a huge, it takes like 5 years to make.
Yeah.
And they're like, they have so much money going into it that they need to appeal to so many people to buy it and to make their money back. Maybe now that there's like sort of like an indie sort of video game world that more, you know, there'll be more representation. I don't know. There's also like, I don't know, have you guys played Grand Theft Auto?
No, but I've seen it being played.
Okay, yeah. There's like a bunch of Jewish characters in there. Oh, a lot of them are stereotypes.
Yeah.
There's like Jewish mafia characters.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the Jewish mob. There's a guy named Johnny Klebitz. Yes. And there's like, but in that game, they sort of hit every single stereotype for every.
I'm just like,
are you looking him up?
I'm just pulling up images of Johnny Klebitz.
Yeah.
Also,
he looks like Vin Diesel or something.
He does.
Mixed with iced tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that. We also have BJ Blazkowicz.
BJ Blazkowicz is hot.
He looks.
I'm here to say.
He looks white.
He's a square jawed.
He's supposed to be a Polish.
I see.
A Polish descent.
He looks like all American to me. Like he looks like Superman.
Yeah.
But he does look like he's good at having sex. Like,
oh yeah,
he looks great.
Yeah,
he looks awesome.
He looks like he could throw us.
He's
around.
Got a deep V on.
Yeah. Or a
like,
scoop.
What am I doing? Why don't we get into the image search, man? Like, what else can he do? What
that
else
was
he
his
like?
Original.
Ooh. Oh wow,
I love that was the origin, and this is how far we came.
Dang, yo.
He just keeps getting hotter.
Yeah, for everyone listening, please do Google along though and see how hot BJ Blazkowicz is. I know who I'm fantasizing about tonight.
I got a random Facebook ad from a man who looks just like this.
No,
and it would mean it's like clearly a bot or something gross and weird, and I was just like, what the fuck? But I kept like scrolling to see if there were more pictures.
He kind of looks like he hates black people.
Yeah, a little
bit. Looks a little racist.
He a little like this like haircut
is that crazy to say?
Yeah,
like look at that like high and tight fucking shit.
Yeah,
that guy
that's
hates
that army
people
cut.
Of color.
But how excited and like I don't know, how exciting would it be if he like totally wasn't hating black people? Like if he like invited
really
you
cool.
he invited you to a special talk that Patricia Hill Collins was gonna give about like representation of women in film, black women in film,
love it. And
you'd
he just,
be
like handed out like bell hooks essays.
Exactly.
And that'd be dope.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be really cool. Okay, great. Anything else?
Let's see, there's another game called BioShock.
I've heard of that.
BioShock's another famous one, and there's a doctor on there called Bridget Tenenbaum. And she weirdly was, that game is sort of, I love
hot.
That game. It's a beautiful game.
Oh my goodness.
Wait, is that her?
But she was a doctor supposedly, and she worked in like, she was like taken into Auschwitz or like was supposed to have like medical stuff, like experiments on her by Mengele or whatever, and then
so
became
creepy.
Like an evil person.
What?
She became evil.
Yeah, she like in the game. No, well, she started to like want to do the experiments with the doctors, and then became like
sort of a Stockholm syndrome kind of.
Wow.
Maybe, yeah. But another one sort of connected to the Holocaust and Nazism and stuff like that.
That is
but
so
yeah, I mean,
dark,
there's more here
guys.
And there,
it's intense.
Yeah, this is really intense.
Intense.
Gil, did you have a morbid fascination with the Holocaust growing up, like I did?
I
Or now, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. It's. I mean, I guess part of it is morbid. But yeah, my grandfather was a survivor.
Oh wow.
So it was definitely an enormous part of my childhood.
Wow.
Yeah.
We could talk so long about that. Yeah. Too. I do feel like so much of Jewish history is dark. Right?
It is.
It's
well, yeah.
Stories of being
we've been
oppressed
running
and
for
killed.
A long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. So it's kind of. I guess morbid isn't really the right word because it's like. I don't know if it's creepy to be really interested in your collective history.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's not creepy at all. Yeah. I mean, the event was definitely morbid.
Very creepy.
But yeah.
I think it would be weird if someone wasn't,
yeah.
you know, fascinated by it and wasn't like constantly thinking about it. It's the biggest thing that has happened.
And it's relatively recent, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. That's true. Although we were talking a couple episodes
ago. It feels like it could happen again.
Yeah, right? In some ways it does. Do you really think it does?
I think like I've sort of had that like never forget stuff drilled into my head forever.
Sure.
But it feels like, you know, maybe I'm more, I have like a more a bad reflex about it, but yeah, it feels like it's easy. I see now a little bit more how easy it is to sort of go for people to go down that path of like sort of silence and acceptance and frankly like
complicity,
fascism.
You
sort of see, oh, I see how it how people
yeah.
were sort of like, you know, how it snowballed.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. Maybe
yeah.
it's possible.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's
I don't know.
Scary.
It's a great note to end this.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah. The end.
Yeah. Yeah. So go into a bunker.
Yeah. Just to bring it back.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a few random Jewish questions?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Well, first I want to actually do my official Jew cues that I wrote out. I was pretty proud of that rhyme. And then afterwards, I just have some random questions that I think
sounds
it's
good.
Fun from like one Jewish person to another. Sorry, Lorraine. You have to leave. Okay. This is my first Jew cue. Gil, which of the following singers is not Jewish?
Is not Jewish.
Is not Jewish.
Okay.
Billy Joel. I feel like I said his name really weirdly.
Billy Joel.
Okay, Billy Joel, Neil Diamond, Judy Collins, Paula Abdul. Do you want to hear those again?
I think it's Paula Abdul or Billy Joel.
You think one of those two people is
one
not
of those
Jewish?
Two. Yes, I'm gonna go with. I'll go with Billy Joel.
Actually. The answer is Judy Collins.
Wow. Okay.
Judy Collins, not a Jew.
All Jews.
We love talking about how Paula Abdul is Jewish.
We have to mention it at least once per episode. That's
I
in
was
our
like,
contract.
Oh, this is, yeah, maybe it was like one of those Trivial Pursuit questions that's too obvious.
The answer
oh,
is man. Staring you in
yeah,
the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the fact that Paula Abdul is Jewish. Just can't get
can't
enough
get
of it,
enough.
Really.
It's just so like, what?
I know.
What?
It's like, by marriage, though?
No.
Was she adopted by Jews?
No.
No. Her parents are like Syrian Jews.
Oh,
it's
wow.
crazy. They're
it's
out there.
So crazy.
They're out there running around right now. Okay, number two, Gil.
Yes.
Well, since I overheard you while I was in the bathroom telling Lorraine that you keep kosher, I feel like these questions are going to be really easy for you.
Okay.
You are probably very Jewish, like more Jewish than I am.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay, that wasn't a question. That's just
okay.
That's how I feel. Yeah. tell me a little bit about these Jewish holidays.
Okay.
The first one is Yom Kippur. Tell me about it.
It's
what is
it? It's the Day of Atonement, and it is... the day when, yeah, Jews atone for everything, for all their vows that they've broken throughout the year and forgiveness from God, from themselves, and from the people they have hurt.
Yeah, you fucking nailed that.
Okay.
And how does some people observe that holiday?
By fasting.
Do you fast?
I do fast, yes, I do. Do you?
No.
Okay.
I stopped fasting in college, I
okay.
think. It just felt to me, and this is a really selfish reason, but... I can't think about anything but myself when I'm hungry.
Mm.
So I am unpleasant. I'm very self-absorbed. And I don't feel like I'm observing the right things on Yom Kippur when I'm just obsessed with food.
Right.
And I know it's an exercise in... I mean, you're supposed to be hard, right? You're supposed to
yes.
suffer. You're supposed to put yourself through, like, yeah, difficulty. But... I just felt like I wasn't focusing. I wasn't really able to honestly like reflect on the year and try to do better and really be like sorry for hurting people because I was just like fade.
Can I ask, did you say, okay, I'll do that when I'm hungry then? When I'm not hungry, when I've eaten. Did you replace like the
what do you mean
the action? Did you say like, okay, so I'm not gonna do it when I'm not hungry, but I will atone when I've like eaten like in and out after I've eaten in and out when I'm like nice and full, then I can sort of focus.
Yeah. So well, what I started doing was, I think this is your question, I would just eat on Yom Kippur.
But I still do the other stuff.
Like nice. The last couple years in LA, last year was the first year where I was like, I haven't been to a Yom Kippur service since I went with my parents in like maybe college or something. So, which is crazy. Like, I mean, I guess it's not crazy. I guess you sort of people lose religion or get less observant when they grow up and start to live their own lives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I haven't been a member of a temple since I, you know, went with my family growing up. Really.
Yeah. Well, so, in my opinion, I do feel like a lot of times like sometimes the customs outweigh the intent, you know, mm-hmm. the
totally.
Actual ritual.
Yeah.
And it's the opposite happens too. Like you don't have a ritual and suddenly you lose sight of like, wait, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
But it's also like, you know, if to me the intent should be just as important. So if it's like,
yeah,
not there, like you should like, you know, and you can do something to, you know, have a better sort of focus, then it makes sense.
Yeah, there is no should, right? It's right. Like, oh, that doesn't mean anything to you, then who cares? It's not like there's a God judging us and like there's a right or wrong, right? Yeah, do you have a temple?
I since we've moved to LA, I haven't found one that sort of I feel necessarily comfortable in.
Yeah.
We go to different sort of mm-hmm. temples and services. The WGA has like, or at the WGA theater, there were free services that I went to
nice.
On Yom Kippur that was like, have been
dude, sort of finding a free service. Okay. This is just a little sidebar. I think it's giving Jews a bad rap to be fucking charging up the ass for high holiday services. It's bullshit. Why? It's so exclusionary. Like Yom Kippur services. I don't know if you know this, Lorraine,
I don't know
can
this.
Be hundreds of dollars.
So like mm-hmm. if you want to
maybe
worship
even
at
thousands.
A certain place, like, or observe you have
it depends.
To
there's
buy
like,
tickets.
There's a lot of places that if you have trouble, they'll be like, okay, well, like
donation based, pay what you can.
Yeah,
I found
and
one
they'll
of
like say, okay,
year.
You know, yeah. It's sort of also how they make money because mm-hmm. you know most Jews do not go to temple
yeah.
other than two holidays,
I right?
Like 2 days.
I see.
So it's
right.
like,
I see.
Okay, we can just make our money here.
Yeah,
and,
wow,
we're real know. Weekend warriors in
yeah.
that respect.
Mm, right.
Continue to not
yeah.
that means, yeah. But yeah, so for the past 2 years, I've gone to just a different Yom Kippur service. This year, I think I talked about this on a previous episode, so I'm not going to get into it, but it was real whack. I was like, I regret choosing this temple. This is bad, and I can see why you guys are kind of going out of business. Like, this temple is just, it's not doing so well, and I feel like they need to maybe, I don't know, have their choir rehearse beforehand, mm-hmm. So they're not just sounding like they're playing an improv game where they just are making the fucking words
oh,
up
no.
as they go along.
It sounds
oof,
bad.
I'm roasting this. Unnamed temple in Burbank. Anyway, okay, so you covered Yom Kippur. Tell me about Sukkot.
Sukkot. So it's, I don't know, this is, I might get too Hebraic here. So it's one of the Shalosh Regalim holidays.
Okay.
So this is like,
I am fanning myself right
yeah,
now because
yeah, yeah,
this
so
is getting
Jewish.
Hot up
it
in
is,
here.
It's disgusting.
Oh
my hot.
God.
It is.
Sarah, put
basically
your shirt back
on. It's. Jews are a wandering people, and on Sukkot you sort of build like a makeshift hut that and you also do
what's
blessings.
It
is called a sukkah.
Correct.
And you do blessings also on the lulav and etrog. It's basically
what are they? Yeah, what are the lulav and the etrog?
The lulav is like a sort of a, I guess like a green. What would
yeah.
you call it?
Yeah, it's like a reed.
A reed,
right?
Yeah. And the etrog looks
like
a lemon.
Yeah.
It looks like a lemon, but it's not a lemon.
I thought that was the etrog.
It's not a lemon. It's something else.
The etrog looks like
yes,
a lemon.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's like almost like a Meyer lemon, but
yes,
not. Yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
Does it only grow in Israel or some shit? Like, why haven't we seen it around?
No, it doesn't. I think it grows in other places, but I've heard, and this is like, my wife actually converted to
cool.
Judaism, and we learned in one of the classes that it's sort of like, harkens back to a
it's like if a lemon
yes.
and a squash fucked.
Yeah.
Look at this.
It's weird. It's wrinkled and shit.
It's
and
bumpy.
Like a
citrus
bumpy.
Gourd.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
And what you do with it is like shake it and make a blessing on it, and it harkens back to like essentially a rain dance.
Oh.
Like it's because it's done in the fall and it's supposed to be like the it symbolizes basically like, this is going to be weird, but like a penis and testicles.
What?
If you think about it.
I did not know that.
Sure,
like
yeah.
That, and you basically shake it. And, you know, and you want to basically thing. Impregnate the or like have it rain down.
Whoa.
And so I don't know. That's what it sort of represents. But the holiday really
is
we're getting into gross.
This is like a
territory.
Weird PSA for Judaism yeah. right now. It's like
the holiday basically is you sleep in a tent.
Yeah, basically. You sleep in a tent
have
and
dinner
shake
in a tent.
Some balls yes. around. Yeah.
Weirdly, my dad was conceived during Sukkot. So
wow.
My dad
that's
has like
very special.
Yes. Would you like to hear the story or are
yes.
you running out of time?
Yes. No,
my
no.
dad has 9 brothers and sisters.
Oh my God.
And so he
Orthodox?
His parents were Orthodox.
Right, that's
but
what
not
that's
what
happens.
You would think of like my grandparents were Yemenite Jews, so it's like very
ooh,
sort of
I
different
love,
than like black
yes,
hat sort of
cool,
what
cool.
you're thinking.
Are they Olivey and you're Sephardic and
yeah, they're very
your life is
they're
awesome.
Very sort of like
you eat rice
yes.
on Passover. Yes.
Your dad's gonna love this episode.
Yeah,
so
this is
much.
This is the Jewiest episode I think we've ever done.
Yeah, like hi Sarah's dad, like cool, right?
Yeah, if you
I
figured
apologize.
Out how to listen to my podcast, I hope you're enjoying it.
But he yeah, so he had like there was not that much room. They were very poor when they came to Israel.
Yeah,
they were. They were originally from Yemen, and so they got sort of flown over in like the late 40s, and they had no room to, if you can think about it, like 9 kids
Lish.
Or like
yeah.
six kids before him, so they had to they went into the sukkah and during Sukkot, and that's
they didn't
where
have any privacy.
They didn't
otherwise.
Have any privacy, exactly.
Their kids were always up in their business.
Yeah, and
oh
9 months
my
later,
gosh.
My dad was born. You know,
that's incredible.
That
yeah.
is so
funny.
Beautiful.
That's very biblical. It's like how
it
Moses
is,
was like pushed down a little. Raft, yeah. you know what I'm talking trying to
I
say.
Know wow,
I should teach Sunday school. That's awesome. Okay, Gil, tell me about Tu B'Shvat.
Tu B'Shvat, I remember. Okay, it's that Tu B'Shvat is a date.
Mm-hmm.
That's Tu B'Shvat. It's like a spring holiday,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
What's the equivalent of it in like our calendar, kind of?
Maybe it's like Easter or something. No, it's ooh. Probably not. It's what is it the equivalent of
yeah.
Tu B'Shvat?
This is great because you have been
okay.
like just crushing this entire.
I know,
episode.
I know the yeah. song of it's. The song goes Tu B'Shvat Igia, Chag La'Ilanot, which means like a.
Whoa.
A, I'm sorry, I know Hebrew.
No, that was amazing.
I just flung that.
Yeah,
it's it's basically, it's the tulip. I think it's the tulip holiday or something. I don't know.
You're really close.
Ooh.
It's basically the holiday of trees.
Thank
it's
you.
Like Arbor Day.
Okay.
Or,
oh.
Yeah.
Arbor Day.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know when Arbor Day is.
Nope. Actually, let's find out right now.
Yeah.
This is real-time learning. Arbor Day. Why wouldn't I just find a date when I Google Arbor Day? Why is there a history
you
of
you
Arbor Day?
I just remembered my, the children's song, but not what the holiday actually meant. That's how much I retained from
well,
but that's
Hebrew
a,
school.
Yeah.
April 28th. Cool.
Happy late Arbor Day, everyone.
Wow.
Okay. You know what, Gil? You're 2 for 3 on that. And
okay.
That was pretty good.
That was, yeah. I was impressed.
This is a softball question.
Okay.
I can already tell you're going to nail this. What's the name of a person who performs a bris?
A moil.
Dope. Which of the following things are not kosher? Again, this is like asking like a black person, like who was Harriet Tubman? I almost
okay.
said who was Harry Met Sally. It's like asking a black person, have you ever seen When Harry Met Sally?
I get that question all the time.
I know
you
wouldn't believe. Oh my God, it's so racist. Okay, which of the following things are not kosher? Bagel with cream cheese and capers.
Mm.
Turkey and cheese on whole wheat. Manischewitz wine.
Turkey and cheese.
And why, Gil?
You're not supposed to mix milk and meat.
What's the reasoning behind that?
The reasoning is that you're not supposed to cook milk in its mother's meat.
Oh. Other way around.
Meat in its mother's milk.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Which, like, the animals would never know because they're dead.
Right.
It's just
it's
kind of
just
like a thoughtful.
It's
yes.
sort of, yeah. Yeah. Don't, it's, I think it's, like, more about, like, being excessive.
Yes.
And, you know.
Sort
yeah.
of a hat on a hat.
Exactly.
Situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you, like. The meat's fine. The,
yeah.
That dairy's fine.
The meat is enough.
Yes.
That's,
yeah.
You're good on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Talmud just wants to keep everybody like humble.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't have too much. Don't put too much on your plate, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know
but also Jewish mothers overfeed you. So it's like, what is happening?
That is actually another custom is you're not supposed to put like fish and meat on the same plate.
Oh.
Like a lot of my family members in Israel won't do that.
It does
like,
seem
if you're
weird
at, like,
to
a
put
wedding
fish and
or
meat
something,
on the same
don't,
plate.
Yeah. Like, don't, it's sort of excessive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like surf and turf.
Yeah.
Is like
it's
a concept.
Unnatural.
It
yeah.
is unnatural. And like the concept is like, hey, you fancy businessmen.
Yeah.
Like,
we're going to get a little silly here. Yeah,
let's get crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's also silly. Like, I feel like surf and turf is not fancy. Like, to me, surf and turf is like, is like wearing a Tommy Bahama shirt. You know, yeah, it's like, let's party, surf and turf. You know? Like, I'm doing like a hang ten gesture right now.
Yeah.
Okay, Gil, you really crushed those Jew cues. And now I just have a couple questions for you, just Gil the person.
Okay.
We could call it off Judy, like off duty, but with Judas. Okay. Are you raising your baby Jewish?
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
the plan?
Yes. Yeah. And what do you mean by that?
I guess what I mean is, yeah, how Jewish are you? Her. Are you planning on, is she going to, you know, have a bat mitzvah? Talking like Hebrew school during the week, Sunday school? What
Let's
do you think?
Let's see. I feel, yeah, I do want to.
Not to put you too much on the spot.
It's less important. It's more important to me. I'd say my priority is teaching her about where she's from and where she came from.
Yeah.
And giving her the opportunity to sort of learn about those things and sort of instill that it is important to understand her history. As far as what she chooses to do with that, that's sort of on her,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
I feel like. But I feel like, you know, up until the point where we feel like she can choose for herself, we are gonna, you know, celebrate the customs that, you know, sort of I grew up with and, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, did you and your wife have a conversation like this is sort of our plan for how?
Yeah, it's hard to like plan every sort of like because different weird things pop up.
Yeah, and totally. You might change your mind also.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Or she might change her mind. Yeah,
that's also very much a possibility. So, yeah, we've talked about a few things. It's hard to tell though.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you have more questions, but I just want to say like. When your daughter grows up, if she doesn't know a lot of stuff, she's probably going to feel like shame, like she's supposed to know what you know and everything
right.
like that. Go easy on
Go
her.
Easy. Yeah, totally. I was just
That's my one piece
yeah.
of advice.
But
yes.
also, please do tell her to like and subscribe Learn Tap podcast.
Yeah.
Okay,
I do
for
think
course.
That's a crucial part of her Jewish learning.
Yeah. I was just talking to my friend. You guys know John Gemberling? Do you guys
yeah.
know him?
Yes.
So
yes.
we were just talking about this. And he's like something because he's a parent of two. And also, like, he said to me, you're going to, because I was, like, so excited, I'm going to show my daughter this and take her to this movie. And he's like, that doesn't always work out. Because a lot of the times, you know, he's like, he wants to show something to his kid. And his kid's like, this is fucking boring.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want, you know, like, I don't, like, I'm not into this. And you sort of have to, like. You sort of have to understand that they're their own person.
Yeah,
for sure.
You know,
do you have siblings by any chance?
I do. I have a younger sister.
Okay, cool. Do you think? Can you predict that maybe your daughter will think your younger sister is very, very cool?
Yes.
You can feed some of that stuff through there.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
a good way to do.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Have your sister
sort of
show
sneaky,
her the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really clever.
Which is the longest movie ever made.
It works. It honestly works.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, coming from a cool person, she'll accept it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like my dad. Used to show us all these movies and he was like these are amazing, but he used to forget like the actual movie, so like he showed us like Five Easy Pieces,
mm-hmm.
which I thought and my brother thought was very bad, and he was like, oh, he realized like as he showed it to us, he was like, I think I was thinking of The Usual Suspects.
Oh, man.
I don't actually like this movie, sorry I made you watch it. And we're like, thanks dude. And then he and my mom showed me the movie All of Me. Do you know that? Remember that movie?
Yeah
with Steve, was it Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin?
And Lily Tomlin, yeah,
great movie. Mm-hmm. But very raunchy, and mm-hmm. we were kids.
Is it I haven't seen it in a long
time. Yeah, there's
time.
A scene where, I mean, so the idea is that, like, he has a dead woman's soul in him, right?
It's one of those switcheroo movies.
It's a classic switcheroo.
Yeah.
Freaky Friday. I almost said Friday the 13th. Freaky Friday movies. But it's not like she is him. It's like she's in him.
Right.
So there's a bathroom scene where, like, she sees his penis.
Right.
And cool. There's, like, a sex scene where, like, I think she's, like, watching him have sex or something. My mom was like, I did not remember this. This is very bad. We are now shutting this off.
This is so funny because Apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, Sarah. You had me watch Goldie Hawn in Overboard. And Sarah was like, this
I'm
is the
so,
best movie. I grew up. I love this movie so much. It's so great. Goldie Hawn, like whatever.
That's like a, like, yeah.
It's so
It's
horrible.
So bad.
Wrong. It's so wrong.
It's terrible.
If anyone who's listening has not seen Overboard, it's a movie about a man tricking and trapping a woman,
like kidnapping.
And pray. It's literally a kidnapping.
Yeah, and he like makes her be his servant.
Yeah,
and like
he literally does
kids.
That. He literally like it's basically rape. Like
it's
they
slavery.
It's slave rape. It's fucking slave rape.
It's not okay.
Yeah.
It's no,
weird
really.
What we remember.
Like, yeah,
it was such a sweet movie. They fall in love.
No,
like, no.
Yeah, no. Under coercion, it's like how you know Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings were.
Yeah, it's
not consensual.
It's basically that.
It's basically that. Sorry to like appropriate your race, like for my point, but
oh,
anyway,
you can have it. I'm not too attached to it.
Are you really stereotypically Jewish in the sense that you do you get a lot of colds?
I'm allergic to alcohol. So
say more
like
about
in,
that,
in a weird,
please.
In an allergy type of way. Yeah, it's not good.
How did you find out?
I started to get sick and my throat would like close up in like 2006.
This is terrible.
Where were you? Or how old were you in 2006?
Unless
you're lying about your age because you're
no, I was in my early to mid 20s.
Okay. Damn, you are older than I thought. Yeah, yikes. Right. We're going to have to wrap this
no,
up.
No,
no. No, just kidding. Yeah, okay. So,
but
yeah.
But yeah, it was, it's not good. It sucks.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What else are you allergic to, if you don't mind sharing?
I'm allergic to sulfa, the medicine.
I also am.
Ooh.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
High five.
What is sulfa?
I don't know. I was like, when I was a baby, had a weird reaction to it. And
no,
they
what
said
is it, though?
It's medicine.
It's like a, it's sort of like an anti, it's like a, what's the medicine I'm thinking
of? S-U-L-F-A. They just told me to write down on all the forms allergic to sulfa drugs.
It's like penicillin, I think.
Oh, it's an antibiotic?
Yeah, I think, no, it's not an antibiotic.
Oh, wait, is penicillin not an antibiotic?
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Wait.
Right?
What is
it? Is? Okay, there
it
we go.
Is?
I don't know.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know. I don't
Why
know.
Why don't I know that? That's such a basic thing.
Is penicillin an antibiotic? It is. Okay, we're getting confirmation. It is the first antibiotic.
Whoa.
It's the most important antibiotic.
Yeah.
OG.
But I get a fever, like a really high fever from it.
Okay.
Not that interesting. So what was your question? I don't know if I
answered. Oh, yeah. Do you get a lot of colds? Are you a sickly Jew?
not really. Only when I drink.
Jew-boos and black boos.
Jew-boos and black boos.
And Gil.
Black boos and Jew-boos.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And Gil, feel free to jump in anytime.
Okay.
And give your thoughts on our boos.
And if you happen to have a boo on the brain,
I'll,
drop it.
Think of something.
Yeah.
Cool.
Lorraine, who's your black boo this episode?
Well, I'm going to do something a little different this time around. A little bit of cross promotion. I am guesting on the podcast Lizard People, which is also a What's a Creative podcast. And we talk about like conspiracy theories and stuff on there. And I'm very excited. I record tomorrow and I don't know if this like what order.
Yeah. When will be
air,
released.
Who
when?
Knows?
Yeah.
But my black boo today is Waylon Smithers from The Simpsons. Now, this is what Smithers looked like the first time
he
was ever on
TV
show. He has brown skin.
He does.
Black Smithers is my black boo today. And the internet loves talking about this. Like, what the hell? Like,
wow.
Is Smithers black? Like, da-da. And Matt Groening is, there's this video of him being approached by TMZ. And he's like, he's not black. Like, he seems very, like, defensive and peeved
over
by
it.
This question.
Yeah.
He's like, it was a mistake in the animation. And we just didn't feel like fixing it.
Oh, so you're
it's
saying
whatever.
Black people are a mistake?
Right?
Yeah.
But
that's crazy.
My theory is that Matt Groening's original intention was that the Simpsons people were black. And his development team, like, you know, through counsel and things, encouraged him to just let this be one of many concessions. They can't be outright black. So he was like, okay, they're not black. But inside he's like, yeah, they're still black.
Yeah, I have heard that people think the Simpsons are black.
I do think that they're black.
Like the family, yeah.
Yeah, so that's my conspiracy theory, is that the Simpsons are black. And I think that they were all meant to look like the Smithers. Like, this is sort of like prototype. And I don't know, maybe like, he somehow slipped it under the radar and like tried to make him appear this way. And they were like, Groening, we said don't. And he was like, all right, fine.
Well,
sorry.
Matt Groening is white, right? I've literally never seen him.
He is. He's white. He was born in Portland, Oregon. White family.
Yeah.
Pretty classic.
Do you feel like he's the right person to make a show about black people?
I don't think he's necessarily the right person to make a show about black people, but I do believe that he tried it.
Cool.
Okay.
Who's your Jubu, Sarah? My Jubu is Sherry Lewis. Do you remember Sherry Lewis?
I love her so much.
From such classics as Lamb Chop's Play Along.
Oh, I really looked up to her.
I loved her. And this is a double whammy of a Jubu because I met her.
You did not.
I did.
Did you meet Lamb Chop too?
I did. I sure did. You can't have one without the other. What if she always just took Lamb Chop with her when she was like grocery shopping? It's like, Sherry Lewis, you are psychotic. Like, you are not your character. I met her. I went to, my family hooked it up. It was awesome. She had like a little, I don't know if it was like a reading, like what, she just like had a little performance, I guess, in one of the Senate buildings in D.C.
Get out of here.
So weird, right? No, actually, it was a Congress, but it wasn't the Senate. It was on the House side.
Wow.
I forget which building it was. Longfellow? Raritan? I grew up on Capitol Hill. That was the thing about me. I met her and it was so, I was like starstruck. I was you know, nice? 4 or 5 years old. She was so nice. And she gave me she signed a little black and white photograph of her with her like curly Gfro holding Lamb Chop. And it's somewhere in my childhood bedroom. I hope my parents haven't thrown it out.
Oh my gosh. That is very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Thank you. Yeah.
Wow.
Did you watch Lamb Chop growing up?
I did. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, so good. Yeah. Which was your favorite song, Lamb Chop's Play Along, the theme song, or This Is the Song That Never Ends?
I loved
or
both.
Or it doesn't
I
end.
Love how annoying This Is the Song That Never Ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So annoying.
And I love to annoy my family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I was like weirdly impressed with how it looped. I was like, oh, it's seamless. That's so cool.
It's like a circle.
The song literally never ends. Yeah. Wow. Cool. Like even when I stop singing it, that song just goes.
Right. Nice. It's somewhere still going.
Yeah, it's out there.
That was Jubus and Black Booze.
Before we cut it off.
Okay.
Gil, is there any, I don't know, Jewish person of influence or black person of influence in the world that is on your mind? No pressure.
I was just thinking maybe I should name, this is not someone famous, but my sister. My sister is, her name is Alexandra, and everyone calls her Allie. Yeah. Cool. Alexandra Ozeri. And, she's really funny. And so she writes a lot of like, funny articles online. So you could find her
cool
online if you Google her.
That's great.
That's
I don't know that. Yeah, so
Gil's daughter's cool aunt.
Yes.
Follow her
on the internet. Who's going to be way cooler than me.
Yeah, Allie Ozeri. Yes. That's a cool name. What's your daughter's name, by the way?
Nina.
Oh,
beautiful.
Great name.
Such a good name. What is, does Nina mean something in Hebrew?
Is
it a Jewish name?
It is. It's Jewish roots, but it's named after, she's named after my wife's mother who passed away. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a classic Jewish tradition for people who don't know. Mm-hmm. It's actually weird. I think in Christianity, a lot of times, like, you know, boys will be juniors, right? But in Judaism, like, you can't name someone after someone who's still alive, right? It's, like, weird.
I didn't know that.
There's, like, Sephardic people actually do.
Oh,
so,
you guys
like,
have your
Ashkenazi,
own rules over there.
Yeah, Ashkenazis don't, and then Sephardics actually honor people.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
wow.
There's, like, different.
That's weird, yeah, because.
Most Ashkenazis are like, this is bad luck. Don't do it.
Yeah, actually, that's sort of, my middle name is kind of a testament to like that, the Jewish divide on like Sephardic versus Ashkenazi, because my middle name is Emily, and I was told that I was named after my great grandmother, whose name is Emily, who died like a week before I was born or something.
Wow.
But that was on my dad's side of the family. His grandmother was named Emily. But then on my mom's side, her mom was named Emily, or Emmy, we called her. And she was very much alive when I was born. And so my mom would always be like, and you were also named for Emmy. Don't forget about my mom. And my dad was like, that's not how Judaism works. Like, we name people after dead people. And my mom was like, shut up. I was born in Texas and everything's different. So like, I don't know. That's kind of like a case in point of.
I like that your parents are in different rooms.
Shouting down to each other. Yeah. I live upstairs. I live downstairs. And Sarah's just like, sitting on the staircase, what am I gonna do with them?
Just walk over to each other.
Why do we live in this house?
But on the topic of grief and your family, you taught me about the yard site candle like a couple episodes back, and I was like, I've never heard of that. I've never even seen that. And I see it in like every grocery store I go to. Of course, it's been around me this whole time. I just didn't realize.
Yeah.
Gil do you feel like we adequately covered your topic of Jews and video games?
Yeah, I appreciate you guys asking me to do it, and thank you for having me, and I feel like I learned a little something doing it, so I appreciate that.
That's
yeah,
great. Yeah.
That's perfect.
And
that's
we did too.
I learned a lot today. I had a lot of fun. Should we start like wrapping it up?
Let's wrap it up. Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Gil, for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gil, for coming.
For
and please, everyone, go just go Google Gil phone sex prank call.
Do it.
Well, I guess you could include his last name. Gil Azari is his name, full name.
A lot of weird Gil sex phone calls out there. Anyway, thanks to What's a Creative, our network, for hosting us. Thanks for giving us a place to live. Much appreciate.
Yep. And special shout out to Ryan Countshouse, our producer. And did you know that his last name was Countshouse? Rhymes with Bounce House?
No.
Wild.
It's a good name.
Yeah.
Also, thanks to Adam Isaacson for making our music.
That's my brother. He makes our music.
Yeah.
And thank you to all our listeners. You guys can follow us on all the usual social platforms. We're at Learned Up Podcast everywhere. Go ahead and send an email to learnedupodcast@gmail.com. We're not going
to
read it.
I dare you to chuck that message in a bottle.
Yeah, if you feel like we'll just shouting into a canyon, go ahead and do that. and I guess Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
We should say that.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I hope that 2018 is less bad than 2017.
Oh, yeah. And also happy birthday yesterday to Sarah.
Sarah's birthday is
New Year's Day.
Thank you.
Nice.
It's weird to be recording this ahead of time, but I really hope that I don't cry this
year
on my birthday.
How was your birthday? was it great?
Well, every year I cry on my birthday. It's kind of a tradition.
So then I'm sorry you cried.
Thank you. Yeah. It was awesome.
What did you do last night?
I think I probably split the time between my parents because they're divorced. So I probably had like one meal with one parent, one meal with another parent.
Birthday dinners.
Yeah.
Back to back.
What a treat.
Bang, bang.
Yeah. And I think my brother was around. So that's always fun. Anyway,
thanks guys for it all. 2018 feels like it's off to a great start. So let's go.
Okay, let's go. Bye.
Bye.
What's a Creative Podcast Network?
Hi, this is Michael. In an RPG like Dungeons & Dragons, you would roleplay as like a knight or a wizard. But on my podcast, Unaccompanied Minors, I get four of the funniest comedians I know to roleplay characters like Ava Santos, a 12-year-old who likes to knit, or Angela Thurman, an 11-year-old who has an orange belt in karate. They take on dragons, we take on the 7th grade. That's Unaccompanied Minors on What's a Creative?